Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you guys. It's a blessing for you guys to join us here at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios. One of our access segments we have is being a part of this ministry. It's actually called Power of the Harvest. Now, tonight, most of you guys have been keeping up with us on this actually teaching we've been doing, dealing with the area of the naysayers. We had a powerful man of God to come on just the other night, Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. I was expecting to see them tonight. It was to be with Apostle Arsenal Walker, but due to some circumstances we know that's really beyond our control, that he wasn't able to make it tonight. Most of you already know that Apostle Walker's been going through the process with his mother, just passing away here just a few weeks ago. We kind of give him the respect and time that he needs to be able to have the proper grievance that he needs to be able to take care of that family affair with his mother and all things that he had to take place to make sure everything's well with her as she goes on to be with the kingdom of God. But as we said before, we started out on the area, the Bible dealing with the area of one of the scriptures, not just one of the scriptures, a part of the Bible. We're talking about dealing with the naysayers and how it kind of really targets a lot of us. I know that Elder Kerry Williams talked on it a little bit on yesterday, and we talked about the process of how we all get entangled. Well, some of the things that come out of my mouth is not really pertaining to what God wants us to be. If we really find out about the love that he has in each and every one of us, our blessings are really more accurate than we can imagine even understand. And what I'm saying is that when you begin to bring things together with the love of Christ, as he taught his disciples, and in the beginning of this particular scripture, we're going to be talking about here in just a few minutes as we get underway, and we're going to be talking about the process of how Jesus really, he trained his, he actually trained his, disciples about some of the things that was about to come against them as they go out and do the work. And he began to name them off, you know, one by one, and who he was actually having been a part of his group, but also been a part of his group. We know that he talks about Judas Iscariot, you know, and Christ really knew who was in his group. I mean, when you look at the scriptures, we get into it between verse 1 and 5, as Elder Williams talked about yesterday, but how he talked about how he was about to train these men and women of God, but in the midst of him training them, he wanted them to be aware of what we call the soothsayers. We would say naysayers. Jesus talked about ones who said things about him that really wasn't true, that he really was called to do the work of the one who sent him. As he says over in the book of John, chapter 14, starting at verse 10, you begin to read it down. You're going to talk about how Christ began to say, I come to do the work of, I didn't come to do the work of a man, but I come to do the work of the one who sent me, which was his Father. And that was Jesus Christ. I mean, actually God, and which represented Jesus Christ here on earth. The word began to walk among us. But on the course of the time, as we talked about on yesterday, about this thing about the naysayers, you know, everything you do in life, somebody's going to tell you what you can't do. And that seems to be a big part of human society. I mean, it's not so much that it's ignorance, as we say. I think it's got a lot to do with, you know, when you don't really exalt the gift that you have. And look how much God has put in your behalf. And look how much God has put into you just being born. Fact of the matter that you got a work to do as well. And when you begin to look at the things that God is putting for you to do, I mean, you don't have a whole lot of time to really think about what someone else is doing, because really, you know, life is really short. You got to watch how you put your time into things, how it's really gained to help you and not discourage you or disappoint you. You really got to have a spirit of discernment to understand that what God is telling you and how He's perceiving you to do these things. You must kind of just, you really want to be obedient to it. I mean, it'll save a lot of heartaches. It'll save a lot of, inconvenience in your life. But I know it was over in chapter 10, but I want to look at here. I want to get started here. And as I get into prayer, we're going to move forward. We're going to hear what the Word of God has to say in this particular scripture. And next time you hear my voice, we're going to come back. We're going to go ahead and light it up. And we're going to hear the Word of God that's really speaking concerning this particular area of scripture about the naysayers. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you for this opportunity to come before your throne, Father God, for even giving us the instructions, really to teach in this area about the naysayers, those who come against, those who have the tongues that stride against the work of your workers. Father God, we declare the word even as we go forth, and even begin to minister to your people, Father God. Give us the ability to have the humbleness, the guidance, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the direction to speak that which you have given us to speak. Father God, I'm asking you to make us a conduit on tonight. Father God, let our ears continue open, and we receive that which you have given us from the kingdom of God, and we may walk right in that and thereof what you designed us. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. As we begin to receive this word and begin to speak it out of our mouth, Lord, we declare, we decree, Father God, that every word that we speak is got to be filtered through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, I'm asking you to illuminate, to transform. Let it be a convicting word, Father God, not only to the people and the listeners, but to me has been a man of God who speaks the very heavenly things that comes from the kingdom. Father God, I declare the word, I decree it. Lord, it's already been spoken, and if the word is going to go forth in the will, and it shall not go back, but it has already been predestined and designed for the ears of the listeners, Father God, that they come under the very conviction and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the season that they're in, that they may walk upright and receive everything that you have in store. For the Father God, I declare the word, I decree, and I believe it's already done in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Father God, to put your love and arms around us, Father God, even as we go forth. And we're going to speak out on this evening, Father God. These things I speak not of myself, but the power of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. such a warming feeling. Then illuminate God's word in prayer. Not only illuminate in prayer, but know that He's right there with you every step of the way in everything that you do. And the word of God talks about, as I go through what seems to be the shadow of the valley of death, you know, that's not an evil feeling in my heart or anything, because of the word of God is a staff. It guides me, it directs me, it teaches me to speak that what God has given me to speak. So, you know, the Bible talks about, who is man that I should fear? You know, I don't fear no man. I mean, what is it? I mean, if God tells me to put on the whole armor of God, I would spend the wiles of the devil, then I'm already in the clear to understand and realize that whatever He gives me to speak is the voice that's coming from the kingdom. But as we talk about this particular area of scripture, we look over here in the area of, let me get my nugget out of notes in line here, some of the stuff with Carrie Williams talked about. The only Carrie Williams talking about some really great things on last night. It really was a heart-touching conversation that he had on time of the service he had. And he spoke to us about these areas of scripture. But we're going to pick it back up, and we're going to start with the area, not just here from the beginning, but we're going to look at the 13th verse. And we're going to look real closely at the 13th verse of chapter 10 of the book of Matthew. And we just want to look at and get some solidification here. And Jesus begins to speak a word, and He declared a word, and if the house be worthy. Now, this is the thing that we got to think about. You know, the word of God says, now He's talking about a physical structure of a house that you go in, and if you knock on the door, you open the door. Let's read it out, and let's go through the inclement breakdowns here. Let's get some real good fact and understanding as the God gives me utterance to the Spirit about this. The word of God says in Matthew chapter 10, in that particular 13 verse, He said, and if the house be worthy, taking our notes, that's underlined that word worthy. And we're going to talk about a little about worthiness, and we're going to talk about what God has given us in that area. And just in this 13th verse alone, as we move forward, I think we covered the whole chapter 10, but we're going to go back, and we're going to pull the increments of this particular teaching, and we're going to bring some relevancy to how that God, in the midst of through His Son, Jesus Christ, as He prepared the disciples to go out, He said, there's going to be some things you're going to run across that you're not going to, that's not going to be pleasing to your ears. There's going to be some houses that you're going to go into that's not going to accept you, to, even though they open the door. The word of God said that if a house, it says in verse 13, let the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if not worthy, the word of God talks about let the peace return unto you. Now, I want to talk about being a vessel first of all. As Elder Carrie Williams talked about a little bit on yesterday, he talked about the vessel of the kingdom of God and how in the beginning of the particular chapter, verse 10, Jesus began to speak about the very things how He had commanded His disciples, and He began to gather them together. And He said over in verse 5 that these 12 that Jesus sent forth, and He commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles and not in the way of the city. Well, go not in the way of the Gentiles, into the way of the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this is a very strong word when God is beginning to speak this thing through His Son to prepare those on earth to go out and do the work that He called them to do. You know, the word of God says the harvest is truly great. But He talks about the labors and the laboring are few. How God begins to set us up as men and women of God, already created, already designed, according to Luke 10 and 19, I've given you power, commanding word to come from the kingdom of God. As we look over in verse 5, He sent them out with a commanding word. That means whatever God spoke over Jesus Christ's life, Jesus designed to make the very people who's a part of Him to do the same work. The word of God declares and decrees. When we think about over there in the book of John chapter 14, we would look at how Jesus came on the scene, really been a commanding officer, a person that was designed to take the helm in position, not only take the helm in position, but to be able to create others who would have just power just like Him. The Bible again declared that He says on chapter 14 of the book of John, in that 10th verse, He said, believe thou not that I'm in the Father, the Father in me. Now you got to think about what I'm saying right here, just in this particular 10th verse of John chapter 14, in verse 10, He makes a challenge to the naysayers because they are speaking things about Him that's not quite true. If we go back up to the early part of the scripture in the book John 14, The Bible begins to speak about over there in verse 7, over in verse 14. He said, if thou had known me, you should have known my Father. Now, evidently, they weren't familiar about the things that are coming of the kingdom of God. Evidently, they've been denying Christ ever since the days of John the Baptist. But yet Christ is steady performing the miracles and the power through the revelation that his Father's called him to walk with the illumination among men, despite of what men may say about him. You yet have to get the work done. The Bible says, if you knew me, you should have known my Father also, and henceforth you know him, and he has seen him. And then the word of God declares, decrees in the eighth verse, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and the sufficiousness. You know, another sufficiency, you know, show us in the sufficiousness, but now show us the power that he's with us. That as you said, that you see me, then you see the Father. Well, show me the Father. Well, the Father's one who's performed the work through the Holy Spirit. That everything Christ declared and decreed according to the book of John chapter 14 and verse 10. Now, we're not getting off the area talking about the book of Matthew, because we got to get you to see how the commanding word of God is a word that's designed to go forth. And it's not a word that will come back void, but it will accomplish everything it's designed to do according to that what God has sent it. Now, the word of God says in the book of Isaiah 55:11 that every word proceeded out of the mouth of God is a 40 word. The word goes forth, and it will not come unto me void. God begins to speak a word in the area of the book of Numbers, over in Numbers 23:19-21. He talks about, am I God that I should lie? Or am I a son of any piece of a flesh that I got to repent? Now, when he brought his son forth, he caused the word to walk among the people, to believe not only in the flesh, which was Jesus Christ, but watch the performance of the word. When he begins to get into the revelation of these naysayers, am I there? With anybody, I'm trying to see. I want you to see what kind of power you got. How God is really designed through his son for you to come here on earth and be a duplicate just like him. The word of God declares over in the book of Hebrews 12, he said that I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Everything that you already been designed to do, I'm going to show you. Despite whatever soothsayer, whatever demon, whatever devil, whatever the mouth of any kind of guilt, what kind of monster may come at you, I don't care what it is. God has said you have been given authority. You have been given power, according to Luke 10:19. Not only to walk and perform, but be able to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I heard the man of God, Dr. J.C. Matthews, speak about the very power of the supremacy, according to the word of Genesis 1:26. How God created the heavens and the earth, and he put you in the midst to govern everything. He said, I have made man with the power, supremacy, authority to rule and to reign, to convict and arrest. That the word of his mouth, he can shut down anything just on what I created him to be. God is also honestly looking for somebody like you and me who's our believers. The word of God has said, according to Mark 9:23, if I can just believe, all things are possible. I have given you the sufficiency that's on my word, that when you see me perform the work, the same things you may do also. The word of God says over in the verse, John chapter 14, not forsaking Matthew chapter 10, but he said, believe it or not that I'm in the Father. Jesus is making a comparison to how you really are designed to be. Just as the Father is in me, it's in you. And just as he's in you, he's in everybody that believes. In other words, the Bible said, greater than he that is in you that he's in the world. But here come the demons. Am I there? Here come the devils. Here come the ones that look upon you because of the type of work you do, because you don't roll in the large arenas. And I believe I'm speaking to somebody who's in the midst of being denounced by some kind of demon that's in their life and trying to make them feel other than what God declared them to be. The word of God said, even according to the book of Jeremiah 1:5, before you was even born, this ought to knock every soothsayer out of your life. Before you was even born, before you was even created, before you was designed, before you was engineered, God had already planned for you to be the ambassador, to be the workman on earth, to do the work that he called you to do. Jesus said, I'm going to show you the example how you are designed to be the very person that God created you to be. The word of God said, according to Jeremiah 1:5, before the foundations of the world, you was created to have power, supremacy, authority to rule and reign. To be able to speak, call things in the midst of whatever's going on in your life. To be not of the world, but the demons going to always be there. The soothsayers, the naysayers. They're going to always be there to make you feel other than what God has declared you to be. I was looking on one of these social network channels, and I heard a woman God say, in spite of whatever people say about you, whatever they may feel about you, just like they did with Christ. I'm not going to abandon my assignment. My assignment is to save souls, to do the work of the one who sent me and called me in position. What did she say when she said that? She believed the very words that out of the book of Jeremiah 1 and 5, before you was created, before you was designed and put on this earth, God created you to be ambassador, despite of whatever man may say or whatever man may do. See, you look at man because of the structure they have, and you look at the type of industries that they have, the type of flow that they say in these modern days, they say church flow in the name. I don't know where the devil get that one from, but they use it. But see, they tell you these things because you don't have the large arenas, because you don't have all the things that make it seem like you to be what God called you to be. They'll denounce you. They'll call you, no, God didn't call you to do it, because you don't have a form of what seems to be religion. You don't have a form of a building. You don't have a form of a name. You don't have a form of a title. And how can you be anything that God called you to be, because you don't have a large flock of people running up behind you? But let me tell you something, woman of God. Let me tell you something, man of God. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that God declared that every gift that he put in you was designed to go forth, and it will not come unto you void, but it's got the power to accomplish all that therein. I mean, I know what the word of God is speaking to somebody's life this afternoon. Quit listening to what the soothsayer says. Jesus came down on earth to do the work of the one who sent him. He made it very clear in the book of Matthew chapter, John chapter 14. He says in John chapter 14 in that 10th verse, he said, believe it or not, I'm talking about you soothsayers, believe it not that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. The word that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. The Bible declares the creed in the 11th verse, but believe in me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus wasn't concerned about one who believed him. All he was trying to get you to see, despite of all the words that you're talking about me and say what I can't do, I want you to watch the smoke that I'm about to leave. I want you to watch the woman with the issue of blood. I want you to watch the lepers in the name of Jesus. I want you to look at blind Barnum and Bayless. I want you to look at Peter's mother. I want you to look at all these miracles that I'm performing, and yet you sat there with your negative self, and you being a soothsayer, and you being a naysayer, and you started telling me that I ain't called to do the work that the one God called me to be, that even one of your own men came behind closed doors by the name of Nicodemus. He looked in my eyes and said, how can a man be born again out of his mother's womb? He didn't have a discerning spirit, but yet he was teaching the people about the kingdom of God, and now the very work come before him, and he don't even understand how it's supposed to go. I'm talking about the naysayers in your life, the ones who look at you that you ain't got what it takes to get an overflow from the kingdom of God. The word of God declares and decrees, and you look over in the book of Matthew, and you go back down to that 15th verse in the King James Version, in the 13th verse, brother, and he said, if this house be not worthy, I want you to catch this for a minute. God begins to call you into a supremacy walk. That even when he looked at you in the book of Romans chapter 12, the Bible said, but that I beseech thee, brother, by the mercies of God. Now, he said that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Hold on, somebody. He said, worthy, but not of a reasonable sort, but be not conformed to this world. Don't listen to the seesayers, the soothsayers. Don't listen to the naysayers. But when God called you and designed you to do a work, am I there with anybody on the night? I'm trying to get you to see that God's got a plan for your life. He's already designed and created you to move forth and do all that God called you to be. You got the very power to move in ways that you never thought you could move. But these soothsayers that you keep on hanging around, the word of God declares and decrees in the book of Matthew chapter 10. He said, if your house be worthy, I want you to get a really illustration of your house. He's not talking about the physical house, the physical house. He's talking about the spiritual house. The Bible said, don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Before you can go to anybody's house and begin to speak anything about anybody, about what the power of God do, you got to know that the word of God dwells in you. It's not the physical structure. It's what's in you. You started looking at a building. You started looking at a man behind a pulpit to speak words of oratorical performance to make you feel good. But don't you know you got to leave here one day? The man of God spoke a very word over in the book of, I ain't done with y'all yet, because you better hang on, because we're talking about some stuff tonight. Yeah, the apostle couldn't make it tonight, but I'm going to be the step in. Sometimes the substitute is better than the one who's already in hand, because that's when God gives his greatest revelations. The people who's beginning to move in such a way that sometimes when things come against them, you get your greatest work out of pressure. Sometimes you'll be able to perform under pressure. But there's a word that speaks something over here. And he says over here about the very words that he says over in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and the 13th verse. And I want you to consecrate on this very 13th verse, because there's a lot going to come out of here. The Bible said, if the house be worthy, let the peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let the peace return to themselves. The word of God declares in the book of Corinthians, but don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The word of God declares, according to the book of Jeremiah, that you keep on running up in these houses and these very buildings and structures, and you telling everybody that you go to church, but you don't really understand. I ain't saying nothing wrong with the word of God says in Psalms 133. It's good for man to dwell together in unity. But you got to realize that if you ain't got nobody around you, you got to know how to move forward with the work that God has called you to do. You got to be able to decree and declare in the midst of the season of where you are that no weapon formed or designed against you shall prosper. The word of God said, if your house be worthy. The word of God said, for you become a worthy house. There to go forth, and even when the soothsayers begin to come against you, you got to begin to confess the word of God in your heart and your mouth. The Bible said, whereas the word is in you, that's right there in your mouth. But if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that his father raised him from the dead, the Bible said that you shall be saved. He said you got to believe that he was raised from the dead. And the Bible said, he didn't say you might, you shall be saved. You keep on running around trying to mix up the word and coming in and out of different houses. And you're trying to run here and run there and get a word from him and get a word from there. But God said, whereas the word is right there in you. But if you confess it and begin to believe that you realize and understand that I'm a God of the all impossibility. The word of God declares according to, what is it, 1 Corinthians, am I there? In the second chapter, and around that ninth verse, he said, for eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. God is trying to get you to say in the midst of your walk, you got to stop listening to the naysayers, the people who said you can't do it because they're looking at a physical performance rather than a spiritual performance. You got to know that greater than he that is in you, that he that is in the world, God called and designed and engineered you to be a worker for the kingdom of God and not to fall side to what the soothsayers say. You may have some rough times going on in your life, but the Bible says if you learn how to get down on your knees and begin to talk to God about whatever it is that's going on in your life, the Bible says he might, but you will receive the ingratiation of the power and the revelancy of the Holy Spirit. That God said in the midst of all the things you're going through in your life, he said, yea, those you may walk through will seem to be the shadows of the valley of death, but God got a rod and a staff that will comfort you. He said, I'm standing before you. I'm standing beside you. I got your rear gate that when the enemy try to come from the back, I got you from that direction. When the enemy try to come from the side and bombard you and rush you, I got you from that section. I will make a way in the midst of the jungle. I will make a way for you in such a way that you won't even understand how you got to where you are, that you look back over your life right now in the name of Jesus, and you see all the things that you went through in your life. You got to realize it wasn't nothing but a God to bring you through. Some of y'all been hacked, beat, almost went to jail, shot down and killed, and almost made it to life, and you still sitting here breathing, and yet you still running around. There's something wrong with you. Did you understand there was a God that gave you the very things that you have in your life? When you come out of a suicidal state, when you come out of a bad injury in your body, you come out of surgery, you come out of some things that almost killed you, but yet you sat still and you don't believe in the power of God to raise you out. You keep on listening to these soothsayers, these naysayers. These people say, well, you know, there was nothing but luck. No, the luck, the devil is a lie. It was the power of God to save your crazy self in the midst of your calamity that you was in. The word of God says, your house be worthy. You got to have a worthy house. A worthy house is a man who walks with the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Despite of whatever's going on in life, they're going to knock the soothsayers down. They're going to keep on moving because God has given them power to tread, according to Luke 10:19. Upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I like the way God, when he backs his word up in the book of Numbers 23:19-21, he said, am I a God that I should lie? Or am I a son of any piece of a flesh that I got to repent? I've been given a command to bless, and I cannot reverse it. You got to realize and understand in the midst of your life, you got to shake off all the naysayers, those who try to tell you that you ain't got what it takes to get what God has already designed and created you from the book of Jeremiah 1:5. You were designed to do the work. You run around trying to be an island. Men are trying to make connections with people, but yet you're so stubborn in your own set ways. You got a little piece of paper on the wall. You call yourself got a degree. Am I there? And then you begin to look down your nose at other people you think is not more worthy than you. And I don't know where to get this name of First Lady from, because it ain't even nowhere in the Bible. Now they got a thing called the First Elect. All that stuff that you're getting to make yourself seem better than everybody. No, you a man and you a man. You a woman and you a woman. If you want to do anything in the body of Christ, you're called to be the leader for the kingdom of God. First, a servant. To teach the people to walk in the right way that God told you to walk. Just because you got this name and your name doesn't make you more superior than any other man. Yeah, the people in the kingdom got names. Michael had names. All the archangels had names, but they didn't think of themselves as being better than any other angel. God just used them on certain things because they what they was good at. Just like he used you for certain things that you're good at. He didn't put none above the other. And they man to get these things about some angels were more powerful than the other. Some say that you talk about Gabriel. You talk about all these different men, Michael and all them. No, they were the same angels, but God gave them the power behind what he gave them. It wasn't because they could do anything. It's unlike with you that you begin to run out and say, I'm a bishop, I'm an apostle, I'm this and that, all in the others, so my power is a little bit powering from you. No, the devil is a lie. The Bible said freely given and freely received. And everything God has given you is not for a price because you got a name and you wrote a few pages behind your name and now you're thinking better than everybody else. I'm trying to get you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get away from the towel barriers. Those people look at you and look at you as you insufficient. The word of God goes when he speaks a word over in the book of John, over there in the book of Matthew. Let's stay in Matthew there, in Matthew 10. And it goes to the 14th verse. He said, whosoever. I want you to get the illustration about you being worthy, first of all. When you was born, you was worthy. It wasn't the name that they gave you. It wasn't the degree that you had. Because God brought you in the earth, you was worthy. Good or bad, you was worthy. God put up the good and put down the bad. Am I there? And he put down the bad and put up the good. It ain't because of your degrees and because of what you wear around, your clothes, your shoes, what kind of bricks and mortar you got around you. God said, I can bring you up and bring you down. Matter of fact, when you get up to the top, I make the way slippery anyway. For y'all to get up to act like y'all ain't got what belongs to you. And I've known how to bring you down to make you realize there was a God that put you up. That's God going to bring you down. But when you let a man put you up, man, see, I'd rather be handed over in the hands of God than be handled in the hands of a man. See, when a man get a hold of you, we gotta let that one alone. I want to let you know that you got to understand, according to that word in Matthew 10, in that 13th verse, he said, you got to be worthy. Worthy when you go out the house to be to present the word. If you're going to bring peace, be worthy to carry the word of peace. And if that peace was in you, it's not deliverable to the house that you go into, don't release it. In other words, don't waste your time with people who don't want to hear what God is speaking about you in your life. It's not about performance and accolades. It's not about cliques, club titles, games, and positions. It's for you to believe that when God gave you word, it's for you to move forth. It keep on bringing me about the thing when we look over in the book of Acts. You know, it's a tail end of the teaching tonight. So I gotta kind of let you have it. You know, I gotta get all over the place and get you to see that God's really got a plan for your life. And the plan he got for you really supersedes far beyond more than you can imagine and understand. I heard that man of God, Dr. J.C. Matthews, out of that J.C. Matthews ministry over there in the city of Irving, Texas, which is called Reigning International. And he began to speak a word about the process over there. And he talked about over in Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter 4. And he talked about over in Acts chapter 4, and he began to read over there in Acts chapter 4 in the King James Version. And if you stick with me and read what it says, you see, all the people I'm going to speak about in this particular chapter are what you call naysayers. People who try to prevent the word from going forth. When God has designed you to bring the word forth, you don't worry about the things that come against you. Your job is to get down on your knees. No, you got a God that can overpower the things that's coming against you. You ain't got to fight with nobody. You know, sometimes you got to be out of waste. You can't be going wasting your time with people that don't want to hear nothing. Leave them folk alone. The Bible says, peace be with them, then they'll hear what you have to say. If they don't, then you get out of Dodge and keep on moving. That's a remnant of the earth. God got somebody to listen to what you're saying. When you go back to the book of Acts chapter 4, and I'm just making speculation, making things, because I know it runs with the word of God. I don't care what kind of scholar and what kind of so-called professor they want to be. You can read all the books you want to be, but when you read through the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost right now. I ain't talking about what you need from your PhDs and all your different writings and how much I'm talking about the power of God right now, what I'm speaking about. The Bible makes a very close illustration about soothsayers, about naysayers, over here in the book of Acts chapter 4. The Bible says they spoke to the people and the priest and the captain of the Sadducees. Did y'all see who coming in there? The captain of the Sadducees came upon them. See, these men were designed to do a work. And they weren't worried about anybody else but doing the work. But see, these captains, these Sadducees, they came upon them. The Bible said they were so hateful toward them, they were being grieved though they taught the people and preached the word of Jesus Christ about the resurrection from the dead. The Bible said them very men put hands on the men of God. And they held them in prison until the next day, until the Bible said in the eventide. But this is the kicker about it. The Bible said, how be it many of them heard the word. See, that when the men come against you, they begin to put their mouth on you and talk about you. The Bible said that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord got to say to the church. I ain't talking about a bill. I'm talking about you. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? See, a naysayer tell you, well, that don't sound right in my spirit. What kind of spirit you got? The Bible tells me how good is a man to dwell together in unity. If you really understand the word of God, you go back to Acts chapter 4, you'll find out that when they was in the upper room and they was all on one accord. Oh, I'm just all over the place today because I got to let you have it today. So See, some of y'all running around, you think you're living better than everybody else. But I'm telling you, your time is running out. And you don't understand and realize that I told you the story about the young woman who woke up early that morning and had a problem in her breast. And then she began to go to the doctor and begin to find out what she needed to do to have that problem taken care of. But in a simple procedure to be able to plant the very thing that she needed in her body to take care of that problem, they messed around and went too deep and punctured the woman in the God heart. She had no idea that she was going to die the next day. You don't know what time is going to come. You ride down the street every day. You get up and you get on the phone, you gossip, you talk about folks. I'm talking about naysayers. If you ain't a naysayer, then you ain't got to worry about it. Sometimes you got to learn how to put your beak in your pocket and quit putting your mouth on everybody and learn to have some love in your heart and learn to realize and understand that everything you think you ain't got to say about your mouth. Sometimes you got to know how to hold your tongue. My wife preached about that one, that you got to know how to hold your tongue. Some people don't know how to hold their tongue. Some people you see me come in the midst of, and if I ever spoke and came in your city or spoke at your church or spoke at one of your events, you'll see me usually greet men with a handshake. Because I try to keep it strictly business when it comes down to doing the work of the kingdom of business. I don't try to get involved with a lot of things. If it ain't walking right with God, then I ain't a part of it. I don't care how many members you got up in your house and how many programs you put on. I'm just like Elijah when Naaman came down there and thought he was going to jump up out the tent and go crazy over him. No, you sit there and you go get yourself up off in that water over there. I don't care how dirty it is. And you begin to dip. As you begin to dip, you'll find out what kind of power it ain't but me, because what God gave me instructions to tell you what you need to do to be delivered from that leprosy that's in you. You can walk around proud all day if you want to. Yeah, you was a mighty man of valor, brother, but you was a leper. And some people, brother, stay in their leprosy positions. And they keep on running around and they keep on putting you down. They keep on talking about you. Sometimes the prophet that you need is right in your face. But because of the accolades, because of the things you hang around, am I there with anybody? I'm trying to get you to see something here in the name of Jesus, wearing the woman of God. Quit worrying about this status quo. Your body's deteriorating every day. You're about to go to the grave. The Bible declares a word even in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Thessalonians. Talk about how your molars don't mold the way they used to. Do you know what a molar is? Them things in your head to get you to chew food. They begin to fall out. Am I there? The Bible says the very eyes you have once you was born ain't like they used to be no more. They're getting dim, but you got to have goggles to see right. Am I there? The hair that you used to have ain't kind of hair you used to have. It's beginning to fall out your head. Your feet don't look as good as it used to look them, but it look like I got alligator feet on the bottom, because you got to go out and get them sawed on almost every day to make them look halfway good. God said, I'm constantly calling you home. Your body is getting explosive. Your body is getting small. Your heart is not beating the same way it needs to beat. You got to have a pill to make it beat right. I'm trying to get you to see something, ladies and gentlemen, that you got to stop coming out of your aeneas ways and begin to believe that God got a plan for your life. And it's really more than what you can see. God is constantly calling you home every day. That's one thing that you're not going to get away from is that phone call. And the day that phone call comes, baby, you can't put it on hold. You got to answer it. But you got to stay away from the naysayers. Those people try to prevent you from calling you to do the work that God called you to do, or walk in the direction that God had you to walk in. Stay away from around them. The Bible said guilty by association. You got to be able to understand that even in the midst of Psalms 1, I know I'm everywhere. I ain't trying to hold, but this is the end of this naysayer teaching tonight. And since my apostle couldn't make it in, I was designed to step in. It's been the alternate on the last leg, and I'm about to run an anchor on you. I'm about to finish it up in world-class time. For those who have an ear, you got to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. The Bible declares and decrees for you naysayers, those who keep on talking, going to the house of God and speaking about things that they didn't want to speak about. I was talking about a very program was on the run of the radio shows the other day, when the very people sat up there and they talked about the very funeral of Eddie Long and how he went through. And how the last words that Eddie Long spoke in one of his services, he talked about the process. If you just learn to have love in your heart, if you're going to tell somebody you're sorry about what they've done, and quit hiding behind closed doors with all the negative things you've done. They may have said, I've done this, but how many things have you done in your life that it wasn't exposed in the midst of the people? And even as you walk as a representative for the kingdom of God, it's not about the size of the building that Eddie Long built. It's about his integrity toward God. And the same thing is about you. You may have a large arena of people around you, but you got to still walk in the integrity that God called you to walk in. The Bible declares and decrees to me that everything in the dark has got to come to the light, that everything that's whispered in the midst of the ear, in the midst of privacy, has got to come to the rooftop. Am I there with anybody? I'm trying to get you to see something. God is about to expose you in the midst of your season. While you're going around putting down Eddie Long and all the other people who got in trouble, and you study running around with of things that's going on behind your own back door. You walk in the house of God, you look real good. As I said, you got your 10-pound Bible, you got your stilettos on, you got your bald head, you got your nice shoes on. But baby, every one of us are walking with a crack in our foundation. The word of God declares the prayer of me and tells me over in the book of Ephesians, they said we all once walked the course of the world. The word of God also says in Romans, around that Romans 3 and 10, they say we all became unprofitable. We were all lost. We was all messed up and tore up from the floor up and need a check up from the neck up. But we keep on running around putting our beak on everybody else. The Bible says, judge not that he may be judged in the same way you've been judged. You've been judged the same way. You got to stop putting your mouth out on things that you don't even understand what you're talking about. And you got to really declare and decree the word that it says over in the book of, the Wiggum brother said. I'll be back there. You got to learn how to sweep around your own back door. But even though he did say it in the word of God, over in the book of Corinthians, the Bible said, first let a man examine himself to see if he's of the faith. There's a lot of ifs in your life, a lot of ifs in my life, that we're going to sit down and begin to wipe around our own back door. We'll find out what's going on in our own life. You study running around putting your mouth on everybody else, and you study having all kind of ailments in your body. You study running around saying this and saying that, but you study deteriorating your body. Don't you know God is calling you home? Don't you know it ain't much time for you to have on here on earth, but you keep on running around with that naysaying spirit in you. Well, I got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but, well, what's the truth about you? You don't tell anybody the truth about you. The word of God says in the book of Acts chapter 4, he said that these men began to speak the word about Jesus Christ. And the Bible cut the naysayers came upon them, the Sadducees. But the word of God got what he needed to get out of them. As the book of, as Dr. J.C. Matthews says, they didn't have no fax machines back then. They didn't pass out no flyers. They didn't have no internet. They didn't have no cell phones. But the power of the Holy Spirit draws them. And when you understand the word of God, the Bible says evening tide came. But how many heard the word of God? And the Bible said the church came to be about 5,000. Am I there with anybody? It's not about how many people you can gather up in your seat, your prisoners. It's about you doing the word of God and understanding and realize that it's not about the very numbers that you run in, that you say in your house. Because you got to give account for every idle word that come up out of your mouth. You may be pulled to people into one thing. You keep on playing that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but God see what's going on behind closed doors. You do it and you get down on your knees to pray to God to forgive you. Quit using grace as a license to sin. Just stop sinning. Well, it tells you very strong over there in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Should you continue on sinning, that grace abounds? You know you're doing wrong. I know I'm doing wrong on things. You got to talk to God, but you can't keep on doing things. And then you want to put your pecker on somebody else. I call that the naysayers. People not taking accountable for their own problems, situations in their own life. The word of God said these men spoke the word. And when they spoke the word in Acts chapter 4, the Bible said the church came to be about 5,000. The Bible said, according to the word of God, when his men came on one accord, and I really balanced it off with Psalms 133, the Bible said, how good is a man to dwell together in unity, and I believe unity is power. The Bible said those men came together in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, and the Bible said something came in the midst of them. The power of the Holy Spirit came in, and they shut their mouth up, cleaved their tongues. And they begin to let them speak the words that they want to speak. And all them different men from different nations begin to say, whoa, look at these men. They speaking words that we speak. And we Galileans, we from painters, we from all over the world. But here we are listening to words that they're speaking to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to understand and realize that you got to be able to center yourself away from things that's in your life that will cause you to fall into proclivities, problems, and situations. He makes it clear. And he says over in the book of the Psalms, that Psalms 100. Yeah, he said that blessed is a man. I'm right there. Yeah, I feel it. Blessed is a man walking not in the counsel. What kind of counsel you walking in? The word of God goes back over in the Acts, Matthew chapter 13. He's talking about, are you worthy? On that chapter, Matthew chapter 10 and that 13. Is your house worthy? Are you worthy to go out, minister, and tell the people about things that's going on in your life, and then you study living like a hypocrite yourself? The Bible says you got to examine yourself. You can't believe what the naysayer says, because half of the thing they're saying about you is true. If it best be told, it's true, and you know it's true. But nobody's going to get you to believe and say anything about the truth. Let it be told. You got to come out of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. As I told you before, God is honestly calling you back to where you come from. It doesn't matter if they throw dirt on you, the way you're living, because see, they're going to throw dirt on you anyway. They threw dirt on Jesus Christ. They threw dirt on the disciples. They're still throwing dirt. But you don't understand, dirt is nutrients. Because you need dirt to be able for something to grow. See, you got to grow. So you want people to throw dirt on you. You want them to talk about you. Am I there? When they start saying all the good things about you, you got to understand, you got a Judas in the camp. Because you got to stir up the very, what the brother back there, Franklin? Yeah, ever see Franklin? You got to be like the eagle's nest. You got to stir the nest. Sometimes you got to get all that stuff up out of your nest before you hatchling, to hatch something and go up. And some of us, in the midst of where we are aborting an assignment because we keep on believing what the naysayers said. What the naysayers said. Can't believe what the naysayers are saying? You can't believe that. When God gives you a gift, when God told you in the beginning, before you was born, created, before you was in the infrastructure of being anything, when you were nothing, but you weren't even a shit, you weren't even, see, God made the heart before he made the man. Before you were made by your father and your mother, God already knew the plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 is so powerful. It's not just that you in this life. God knew things about you way before you was born. I look at my young daughter. Now, like that, one day she's going to have kids. Now, one day she's going to be married. She's going to grow up and be a beautiful young woman. She is not. And God already knows the kids is going to come out of her. Ain't that something? If only I know the thoughts. Don't listen to what the soothsayers say about you. If God calls you, go out and minister the word. You ain't got to hold up a whole crowd of people around you. Do what the word of God says. He told them, brother, man, take no bootstraps with you. Take nothing with you. But the word of God, go out and do the work that God called you to do. The Bible declares in that verse 19, I want to kind of touch on 10 and 19, but when they deliver you and they take you, look what it said in verse 19. But when they deliver, look, the day, when they deliver you up, take no thought. See, this is when the Holy Spirit come in on you. See, when Jesus began to declare the word, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came, remember those priests came out to get him, and Peter really, Peter, bad boy, he took a butcher knife to the prayer. He pulled that butcher knife and cut that priest's ear off. And in the midst of all those things, Jesus told that brother, man, look here, you chill out, man. Don't do evil for evil, man. Don't do that. Put the knife away. But even the mention that took Jesus back to maybe slay him and beat on him and slap him and spit on him. The only thing he said, the same thing you would do to me, my father's going to do to you. The same thing that you do to me, my father's going to do to you. But I heard the man of God, my good friend, Pastor Pearson, over at Mount Olive Church of Mount Olive Church of Terrell, begin to talk about what Pastor Sam Fitzroy was a powerful man. Don't get me wrong, him and Joyce, him and Gloria Fitzroy, I'm telling you, if you ever sit down, you better make your way over there. But you also got Mount Olive Church of Terrell, Texas, which is by our own brother, and homeboy native out of Saginaw, Michigan, Edward Pearson over there, and him and his lovely wife doing that work over there in Terrell, Texas. And I'm very much stronger part of it because I love him, and I know he's got some things he's doing, and God doing some work in his house. But what I'm saying here, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about just the naysayers, and the Word of God says, but in the verse 19, but when it ain't a time where or how, but it's going to happen. He said, when they deliver you, it's going to come. It's going to come. Don't come to think I'll bring, Jesus said, don't come that I think to bring peace, but a sword. He come to shake up some stuff. But when he said that, when they deliver you, because there's going to be a time in each and every one of our lives, we're going to go through some critical things in our life. And going through those critical things, guess what? We got to depend on God more so than ever before. He said, when they deliver you up, take no thought. See, the word of God says that. And see, that's Psalms, that's really, what is Proverbs 3:5? Lean not to your own, but acknowledge God in all his ways. And he directs your mind too. Let this mind to be in you, be in Christ Jesus. You got to believe. Don't listen to what the naysayer says. Because when they deliver you up in the midst, if you take no thought of what you have to say or speak. But God said it should be given to you. He said, in that very hour, I like the way Psalm 46 said, when you're in the midst of a struggle, that he said, I'm a very present help in a very present time. Right? I mean, he's a right now God, that every word according to, what is it, Isaiah 55:11, proceeded out of the mouth of God, will go forth, and will not come unto me void. So should a word go forth. and I said, come unto me, void. I like the way John put it. In the beginning was, and the word was, and the word was with. I don't want to preach no more because I got to get out of here. But I really thank y'all for tuning in and being a part of this naysayer's teaching. And I want to take a congrats to my good friend, Elder Kerry Williams, who really brought the house to attention on yesterday. I mean, y'all had to, y'all missed it, but I'm telling you, you missed it because he brought some very strong, significant things in the midst of that saying. I see y'all up on here, but you ain't got to say nothing tonight. Just listen. As a matter of fact, we want you to listen. Because sometimes you open your mouth, you might say the wrong thing. So in the midst of all of this taking place, in your life, in my life, we got to realize and understand, in the midst of all this calamity that's going on around us, there's one small thing that we fail to do. And that's to be able to open our ears and close our mouth. We got to say something about everything. Sometimes it's better for you to hear than say. The Bible says because of the naysayers, they're going to continue to talk about you. But don't let that stop the work that God called you to do. You know, I was looking at my monitors real good here. I saw one number pop in here. And that is the man of God who is, we're at the end of this service. I know he's up in here. And I know he's always listening in, but I'm just going to pull it. Listening in on some things, but I heard him just a minute ago. Maybe he's a little loud back there, but I ain't going to get him in there right now. Maybe he ain't got his hand up in him. I'm going to pull him in, but I don't usually do that. But what I'm saying is I want you guys to really catch this. The Word of God makes it very clear. And it makes it very strong. Let's look at the 19th verse. Let's just recover and go back over what we talked about. Just looking at the midst of this particular teaching about the naysayers and what we went over tonight. Not to recopy or we go back over everything. First thing we need to understand that we made a very strong argument about how the Word of God declares, decrees that these soothsayers, these naysayers, as it said in Acts chapter 4, they're going to put their hands or they're going to put their mouth against you. But you got to know who you are and whose you are. The Word of God declares and decrees, and he makes a very strong statement about that particular statement in the book of John chapter 14. You got to know that who you are and whose you are. When you look at verse chapter 14 through 14, because it reads out and it says, but believe it not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Now listen to what he said about this. The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwells in me. Now this is a strong thing right here. When you go back over to the book of Matthew chapter 10, and you go back over to verse 13, he makes it very clear. You got to be worthy. You got to be worthy. Worthiness comes when you're walking in the will of God. The Bible says, if the house be worthy. Now, in this particular scripture, he's talking the process that the house you go into. But in order for you to bring down the house, you got to have a house. Am I there? If you're going to bring power in, you got to walk in the house with power. But the Bible says, if you be worthy, and you understand what he's telling you in John 14, believe it not that I'm in the Father and the Father in every house that I walk into, I'm walking with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if a demon is in the house, and if it ain't worthy, I'm going to make it worthy according to the word of God that he has put in me. I've been given the power to speak and declare and call things in the midst of any situation to be not the what they were. I've been designed to be a powerhouse here on earth to be an ambassador to whatever demonic situation I may involve to come into. My job is to be able to fight the good fight of faith and realize and understand that I'm always come out on top. Because the God is always there with me, that even though I walk through the shadows of the valley of death, am I there? I'm not going to fear no evil because the rod and the power and the staff of God is right there with me. The word of God declared according to Edward Pearson over there in the book, in the city of Terror, he said, I'm protected in the front, I'm protected on the side, and I'm protected in the back. I mean, I'm protected all around. God has got a hash, he got a burlap sack all the way around me, a special kind of sack that the enemy can't touch me, that even when he begins to speak and shoot his fiery dart, I'm protected because I got the whole arm of God on. And I can withstand all the wiles of the devil. You know what kind of power you got. And you know how to walk in the ingratiation of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You will move in ways that you never thought of or ever heard of before. Corinthians makes it very strong, for eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. It ain't even in the heart of any man the things. I'm talking what things? Things that you don't even know about. God said, if you make yourself worthy to be the house, to go in the house. Am I there? You got to make yourself worthy to do the work that God called you to do in the season which you're in. What did it say? That no weapon formed or designed against me shall prosper, and nothing will be able to stand. God means that he says, I'm a very present help, according to Psalm 46, in a very present time of need. It don't matter what I'm going into. When I know I'm strapped down right and I'm hooked up right, I could take a hook from the most powerful demonic spirit on earth. But you got to realize and understand that you got to know that God with you. The hit that Job took, it was a really powerful hit that Job took. And they say he lost a lot of things. But one thing about Job's hit, when he did get hit, one thing I like about Job's hit, when he got hit that he came up with a double portion. Because Pastor, how do you figure that? He killed all his sons, his daughters, and animals, and all that. But see, all that stuff went back up in the kingdom. See, he had sons in the kingdom, and he got more sons on earth. See, he had double. It's kind of like what Elisha and Elijah did. You know what I'm saying? When he said, oh, look, there's a fiery chariot and the horses therein. They took that man of God back to heaven, and that mantle fell upon him. He said, oh, Lord, that you give me a double portion. You got to ask for your portion. When you got something and your mother got the very good to give it to you, and you only got so much that you want, well, you only so much she gave at the time, but when it get good to you, you ask for another portion. All these things that Pastor Ellis is talking to you about through the whole entirety series is dealing with all the stuff about the naysayers, all the things that even happened with the yellow brick road. I mean, common things, Little Red Riding Hood. All these things had things that try to prevent them to reaching their destination. You talk about the three little bears. I mean, all these things are common stuff. When you went to work today, you didn't feel good. But in the midst of you going to work, you prayed and God made you feel good right in the midst of your situation. Am I there with anybody? You got up in the morning, you didn't look like things were going to work out for you. But God said, if you keep on praying and keep on trusting, that as I walk through the shadows of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Because you know what? God has made a promise to you. And he said in his word, I'm not a God that I should lie, or not a son of any. I'm talking about the naysayers that try to come against you. Well, you know you've been designed and gifted with a work to work, with the power to do the work here on earth. You can't worry about what nobody said. Don't be intimidated by nothing or nobody. That's one thing I can say about myself. I have never, ever been intimidated by nothing or no one. I don't care how big your ministry is or who you say you are and how good you got oratorical performance. If God called me to do a work, don't run across my path when I'm running on my lane, because I'm going to hit you, and I'm going to make sure you know I'm there. Don't be trying to belittle me and make me feel that I ain't doing what God called me to do. No, I know I'm doing a great work. I know I'm doing the power of God. You look at the physical structure, but I'm looking at the power of God. Moving the demonstration in Revelation. That's what he said over in the book of John chapter 14. Believe it not that I'm in the Father in me. But he that dwells in me, he does the work. The one that dwells in me, he does the work. Matter of fact, when you look at the scripture and you look at it for its entirety and what it's saying, the word of God, he's got some strong words just in the increment breakdown. Believe it thou, that's an individual thing. See, thou is known as means you yourself. If you don't believe the work according to Mark 9 and 23, then just watch my smoke. Just watch. He said, if thou can believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. See, it's against you. See, it's a personal relationship with you and Christ. Not what the naysayers say, because they don't like this pastor. They don't like this preacher. They don't like this church. Well, that ain't fitting for them. You like McDonald's. I like Burger King. I don't know. You might try to go a little bougie and a little extravagant than I am, but I try to walk with the best of them. If I got God on my side, it doesn't matter where you go to eat at and what kind of house you live in and what kind of money you say you have. But one thing I can guarantee you, you're going to taste the dirt like everybody else. It'll be one day you're going to be stressed out right in front of that altar one day. But you're going to understand and realize that you got to find out one thing, that you're on your way back to the dirt. And you got to get yourself together because you got somewhere to go. I like the way Mary and them say that back in the day when they sang that song. I got to get myself together because I got somewhere I got to go. You're going to go there. And nobody knows the time, place, or when that you come. But the word of God tells me, you got to get the work done while you still, when it's still daylight. Am I there? Don't be looking what the naysayers say. It's what the soothsayers say. Those who look at you that you ain't got what it take. You better have the large crowds and all the nice chalachapes that everybody has got. But I guarantee you, man and woman, God, if you do the work that God called you to be, I believe he will bless your socks off of you. Trust in God. Lean not to your own, but not a God in all of his ways. Obviously, he might say he will direct your path. It's such a pleasure. It's such a pleasure, a extraordinary pleasure for me in my heart, for you guys to join us here on this last segment of this area of the naysayers. And I want to thank Apostle Oscar Walker, who wasn't able to be here tonight, my apostle. I want to thank for the encouragement of the men of God who are in my life, Elder Kerry Williams, one, Bishop Raymond Johnson, Pastor Pearson, Pastor Sam Fitzroy, the list goes on. all of them, Brian Shaw, all of these men of God who's been a significant part of my life and helped me to stay maintained. I can feel the power moving. It ain't got to do nothing with the info. I feel something is shifting in 217. I don't know what it's shifting to, but it's moving. And I thank God for everything that he's done. That even though in the midst of me meeting certain people, they are really calling in to try to destroy my, and try to bring down, they try to put their demise against me. But you'll never see that happen. You'll never see this ship ever go down. You'll see it rise up. But you'll never, ever, I guarantee you by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as long as I live, you'll never get a chance to see, you'll never in your life get a chance to see anything against my family or me or go down because we walk right. And the Bible says his word is guaranteed and his love goes to those who seek after him. And I'm a God seeker. I may not be righteous to everybody, and I don't try to be right to everybody. I know within my own jurisdiction that what I'm fighting, what I got to fight with, what I got to overcome. The Bible said the no good thing will he will hold for me. That's if I walk upright. As long as you're trying and you're giving 100% effort at what you're doing, God has nothing against you. God will bless you. I'm telling you, man and woman, God will bless your socks off of your body, and God will give you things that you've never known or heard before. I'm prophesying to somebody life. I'm telling you, somebody's got somebody out there discouraged. Something or somebody. There's a crowd that you need to get away from around. There's an industry that you're a part of. You've been making decisions that whether you should leave or not. I think you should go, and you move quick because it's sucking the life out of you. You can't sleep at night. You're wondering about what they think about you. And God never designed you to be in that particular environment. God said everything he ever spoke to you, but even though they don't see it, is already at hand. But you got to believe, you got to get away from the naysayers, the one who said you can't do it, the one who said it seems impossible. Get away from those compromisers. Because the ministry don't move, they decide that they want to bring the scale of the Holy Spirit down. God said moving signs, wonders, and miracles, but you went somewhere to look more affiliated and have more promise than what people feel good on earth. But God said, you'd have never, ever in your life to doubt me in what I said I'm going to do. I'm a healer, I'm a mover, I'm a designer, and I'm an engineer. I am the one. I am the creator. I thank God for the man of Dr. J.C. Matthews over there in the city of Irving, Texas, doing a great work. I had his literature right here in front of me, but Reigning International Ministries. Reigning International Ministries. Out in the city of Irving, Texas. If you know where the TB, if anyone knows, 30, and give me, y'all hold on just a second here. Reigning International Ministries, Dr. J.C. Matthews, 3001 Irving Boulevard. If anybody, if you ever Google on your iPad, whatever, you have Androids, and you look up in Dallas, Ted Turner Broadcasting Center, TBN, in Dallas. It'll show you what an Irving location is. That's the location he is. He's in the back part of that particular studio. And I'm telling you, before you know it, you better get there early. You better come up. If you got some help you want to do with him in his ministry, you better get it done. If he needs some good people out there. And I'm telling you, when this thing begins to take off, it's already moving. But when they begin to move, oh boy, it's going to move, oh, it's going to move. It's going to move in ways you never thought it would move. Because I'm telling you, he's doing a great work. To each and every one of you, from us here at Harvest Light Church, all the men of God who I thank for being a part, made this particular event a success, and everything we do a success, whether it be physical, whether it be whatever, you know. We're judging our thing based on how many crowds of people you have. We based out based on how many people would have an ear to hear and be lifted and saved by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank God because we're not into just a lot of these things that we do in terms of events. Now, we have some powerful events, physical events, but I want you to know the radio station we have is just as powerful. God has done just as mighty work here in this particular area. To my beautiful wife, Pastor Patty Ellis, and to my good friend, as I said before, who's always there beside us, pushing us and guiding us, Apostle Oscar Walker. He's not with us tonight. Most of us know he lost his mother here just a few weeks ago, so he's attending to a lot of state things. I don't want to put too much pressure on the man. I thought he may have had some time that he needed to get out and come on in, but he's going to be back. We're going to fire him off on the day that he's going to catch you off guard. But also, I want to thank God for my beautiful little daughter, my daughter Amber, sons Ricky, and all of them guys, man. the whole family, Alonzo. I mean, just look over them, Lord. Keep them safe. Keep them sound. Keep your hands alone. Marissa Bingham. All those guys out there, I mean, let Lord touch them in the name of Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit fall upon them. I thank Elder Kerry Williams from the bottom of my heart, how he stepped up to the plate. He's done such a great work. And the work that we're doing here at Harvest Right Church, becoming a strong part of this team, which I know God's going to put him on in. You ain't seen nothing yet. You only seen the surface of what we're doing here at Harvest Right Church. That's why you don't waste your time and giving a whole lot of people your insight, because a lot of people are going to see what's going to be good for you. They don't want nothing. They really don't want. They want to see what you're doing, but they don't want to be a part of what you're doing. I mean, they're not going to come in. If God told them, then they will. But not. But you don't give everybody everything you got. Don't offer people as much. Don't offer people coming to your house, because some people come in just to see what you got and they come out and want to rob you. But I believe in the name of Jesus Christ in that. The work we're doing here is an unrobbable work, because I believe the something that God gave us is totally different. It's totally against in the wills of the enemy to try to come and hold us back. We believe God's got us in the infrastructure that can't be penetrated. But God bless you. God teach you. God keep you. I mean, we got, as I said, we got the man of God. We think all the callers on the line. So I tell you, we got a full house tonight. We thank God. But one number stands out, and you'll learn this as you go on the radio. There's certain calls you don't take on certain things you do, you know, because you know there's some people affiliated that doesn't have anything right to say which for you, and they want to try to, you know, prove their point about what they think is right. But there's one number that stands out, four numbers on the standout, and I don't know if this man of God is still out moving around, but I'm going to light him up anyway. You know, I got the confidence to light him up on the studio. Is that Kerry Williams, Elder Kerry Williams is in there. Also, I got a few more people on the list, but I'm lighting them up first. Man of God, you got a few minutes. I know you have something to say. I want you to say something, because this is the end of this particular series. You know, we're getting ready to get off of this thing, but I want you to have something to say to these beautiful people out here still with you during the course of the time of this event that was taking place. Also, your good friend, Elder Pastor Pearson, told me, give him a call, man. You want to talk? He can talk to you years. You want to see how you're doing? Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. God bless you, Pastor Ellis. I really appreciate your dedication, your zeal to delivering word of God to God's people tonight. And as you were going forth a little while ago, I was just thinking, again, in that 16th verse, of Matthew 10, Jesus said that I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. And we got to remember, the nature of the wolf, he's a predator. His whole mission and assignment is to kill and devour so that he can eat. And particularly when it comes to terms of ministry, those are just the types of spirits we're going to face and run across. You know, and a lot of times, like I said, the enemy is adept at trying to conceal them, but the Spirit brings truth. The Spirit brings light. The Spirit brings illumination. So I just want to encourage those of you that are listening tonight, amen, to go ahead and go forward in the spirit of truth and understand that God has you protected. He's going to allow you to go through some things to prove you, to establish and to settle you, but the attacks will never mean the end of you. The Spirit of God is the most powerful thing in existence, and it is eternal. So as long as we're walking in it, you can look forward to the naysayers coming, because God will bless you, and the ministry will bless. His objective will always be accomplished as long as you stay in your lane, stay in God's care. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. God, I tell you, it's a great, I tell you, now that he's on the line of having to send us off in prayer, because I believe I done spoke some words to y'all.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
All right. We thank you guys for being a part. Also, want to make one more announcement. On our upcoming second and third Fridays, we got two more different members of the station. There's going to be two more different members of two more churches that are coming in. One is going to be Prophet Kurt Denny out of New York. He's going to be on there probably, I got to be for sure. But Prophet Kurt Denny is coming. And also, I know for sure on Friday night, on the first and the third, You're going to hear from your original true own from Saginaw, Michigan, Pastor Pearson out of Terrell, Texas. He's got his own show coming on here also. So you'll be hearing from him as the God continue to add to and bring this ministry also with my wife and her show. So God continue to move it up, bring it forth. We just want to thank God for those three new shows that's already taken place. Got a fourth one coming in. Of course, Pastor Walker is going to start his active show on this particular network also. So we're moving the way we're supposed to move. We just make sure we're going to have a tight ship. I mean, not tight in terms of we can't get people in, but we got to be aware as we start off and move into this area, going to the broadcasting part, which is going to be actually the physical part of actually getting the cameras rolling. Now that my beautiful wife is back in position where she needs to be with some of the things that we've been challenged with, we thank God for her and give me a little more liberty to move and not look out for her as much as I had to look out during the course of this little attack that was coming against her. But you know that now things are in position and now God has taken it all. So we had, within that short period of time, there were three different ministries that came in. And so you're going to hear for one on actually Tuesday night. Not it's going to be a Monday night. And another one on a Friday night. The one on Monday night, Pastor Prophet Kirk Denny out of New York. You'll see his posting of his information coming up soon. And also you'll see Pastor Pearson out of Terrell. And also you're going to see two more men of God, which is Oscar Walker. You're going to see his coming up. Now, this is not no fly-by-night people that's coming on this ministry. I'm telling you, it's not something just blew in from the wind. These are men that have been established in ministry well over 30 years, 20 or 30 years. And they know what they're talking about. Well-established church and ministries and congregations. So this is not a bunch of fly-by-night stuff that you see that's going on here at Harvest. Now, I don't know what you probably think it is, but this thing here didn't start up in a corner somewhere. This is the power of God moving in this. We're going to Elder Kerry Williams to shut us out in prayer. And we thank you guys once again for being with us. And I turn it over to his hands. And I have to give him an opportunity to give that turn us out tonight. Okay? Elder?
The Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in this service tonight, oh God. We thank you for your people. And God, as we leave this service, but not from your presence, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you continue to bless, protect, and keep us, Lord. Return each and every one of these little ones to the appointed time, the appointed place without hurt, harm, and danger. These are all the blessings we thank you for. In your Son Jesus' name, we do pray. Thank God. Amen. God bless you all and have a great night.
Amen. Amen.
Make me more.